So some of you may know, some of you may not, but I am, by an accident of acquaintance, I guess, a fire department chaplain. A friend of mine from my last church was on the fire commission, and a few weeks after I got there, invited me to become the fire chaplain for the town of Thomaston. And then sometime later, 2 or 3 years, then I was invited, I guess this is my third term, so 2 or 3 years ago, to be the state chaplain for the Connecticut State Firefighters Association. So yesterday I was at the convention for this association, which represents like 27,000 firefighters in Connecticut. And it struck me that this is a very mission-focused organization, this association. It's all firefighters. And what do firefighters do? They fight fires. But what else do? Save lives. I mean, they save people, right? In essence, that's also what Jesus is doing through the church. A priest who was examining me when I was being ordained in the ordination process asked me one time, "What sermon does your parish need to hear every Sunday from you?" And I said, you know, something in context, or, you know, that has to do with the readings and all that. And he said, "This is much simpler than you're making it, Mark. What sermon do your parishioners need to hear every Sunday?" And I said, "I'm not sure what you're asking me." And he said, "This is very simple. What sermon do people need to hear? What word do people need to hear every Sunday?" And I said, "That Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the power of sin and death." And he said, "That's it. That's what people need to hear every Sunday." And I believe this. And I also think that as part of that, that I need to be in conversation with all of us about how that looks in practice. So I remember right after I was ordained, during the first year that I was serving, being truly impressed by the congregation I was serving. They put together a tag sale that transformed the church for a few days into a rather nice secondhand store. And it took loads of work. Racks and racks of clothing, tables covered in items for sale, all kinds of stuff, a silent auction, food, everything. And it was truly a wonder. And in the midst of this, a very eager new family, only in the church for a short time, found themselves. The wife volunteered to help because she had already become really, truly fond of the church, and there was a lot to love about this church. She was working in the clothing section, if I recall correctly. She was helping to lay out clothing, hanging stuff up, getting it ready to go. And one of the longtime members with dozens of tag sales under her belt came over and grabbed the stuff that she was working on and muttered something about how she was doing it all wrong. Now keep in mind, she was new. She'd put in hours of work alongside these people that she was thinking of as her new friends. And then she was treated in that way, unkindly. And the people, because there was more than one, the people who treated her unkindly almost certainly didn't realize that they had done so. We're not always conscious of how the words we're speaking are affecting those around us. Now, I know all this not because she came to me and volunteered the information, but because I could see as I was walking around the tag sale admiring all of our church's work that she had been crying. So I asked her what was wrong, and she told me what had happened. And I can't say that I was angry, but I was saddened. Because even, 16 years ago, I was already beginning to realize that one of the reasons we fail in the mission of the church, in the mission of conveying this gospel message, is because we understand some things very well and other things not well at all. See, unlike the fire department, in the process of being involved in Jesus' work of saving the world from sin and death, that it's important for us to remember to be kind. The tag sale was an important event, But it was an event meant to sustain the people of God in their mission. And there is no mission, no church, no community or congregation without love between the people who follow Jesus. James wrote in our epistle today, if we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. In other words, our minds and bodies are capable of doing much work, but our tongues, the way we speak, can affect or even determine outright whether that work does any good. If that family had left the church so soon after arriving, it would not have mattered how much stuff we sold, as far as I was concerned. I would have considered that entire event a failure and our church diminished. Well, someone might say, that woman was just being oversensitive. People get impatient when someone isn't doing things right. Well, maybe, maybe not. Here's what I think. There are a lot of ways to do most things, even in churches. There is more than one way to set out clothing to sell. But there is no other way to be kind and welcoming to someone than to be kind and welcoming. People don't come to church and remain in church because everything is right with their lives. People come to church and stay in church because the world and sometimes the people themselves are sensing the brokenness, the cruelty, the lack of compassion, the absence of mercy all around them. And they're hoping that we who follow Jesus are different. They're hoping that we are strong enough to take in those who are searching, those who are hurt, those who long for kindness and friendship, and make them part of our family, the body of Christ. Now, I haven't been here long enough to know everyone yet, but this is my third Sunday. I know that there is much that we do very well from what I've seen. I hope that one thing we do is practice kindness. Not random kindness, the way the bumper sticker advises, but purposeful, Christ-guided kindness. You'd think that would be easy, right? It's not, though. It takes thought, prayer, intention, and action. It takes us directing and governing our tongues, because that small part of our bodies can undo all the work that we've planned and done. We can fix the building. We can do beautiful things in worship, sing transcendent hymns of praise. We can spend 5 minutes at the peace greeting each other. We can plan, and work. But if God sends someone our way, and we don't have the discipline to treat them with love, patience, kindness, and understanding, we will have failed. James wrote, "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing." My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Or as I've put it, churches don't grow and flourish even if we believe all the right stuff and do good things if we can't figure out how to be kind. Even Christians can be jerks. And the fact is, when Christians are jerks, they hurt the church. They hurt the mission not just of their own congregation, but of every other congregation. And not just by making, you know, somebody think like, well, those people in that particular congregation aren't good for mission. Everybody is affected. We're swimming upstream, paddling hard, almost drowning because generations of people couldn't figure out how to act like Christians and not just believe the right things. So I'm turning over a new leaf. It's not the first time. I've been turning over a new leaf every day for years and years now. That's what it means to be a Christian, right? To turn over a new leaf every day. Every day I'm trying once again to be the man that I know Jesus created me to be. And it's hard. Jesus expects more of me than I do of myself. In my past, I was willing to accept that, well, I was in a bad mood, or the person I was talking to was frustrating me, or it was easier to do the job myself rather than let someone else do it in a way that I thought was incorrect. Or, you know, a thousand other excuses. But our tongues can hurt people. Our words can leave wounds as surely as a sword or a bullet. I can't count how many people I've talked to who no longer go to church because at some point someone in church was cruel or inconsiderate or judgmental or worse. And it usually wasn't just the once. People who leave churches don't generally leave because someone was inconsiderate one time. They leave because that was generally what they experienced. It was normal. And it may be normal to be inconsiderate, judgmental, or even cruel outside these walls. I've definitely found that thick skin helps outside the church. But we're supposed to be different. My brothers and sisters, James wrote, this ought not to be so. Like I said, I don't know anyone here well enough to know whether this is the case in this church. But we are a small church embarking upon a new path with the object of being reborn. That's why I'm here. I heard that from the tongues of your leaders, of our leaders, that I heard of your desire to be a strong force for good in our community and in this world. I heard what I take to be a longing for new life, transformation, and growth in the Spirit and in our numbers. And that's why I'm here, because that's been my call, to seek God's help in churches who want to be even more connected through Jesus. I want what you all want. I want for my life to be different and better with each passing day, each passing year. And I think that you want that too. And it's exciting to think about it. It's scary too. Make no mistake about it. What we're going to be doing together is an adventure. We're going to shake ourselves awake, get out of our own way, and turn this church into what God wants it to be. We don't yet know what this new church will look like because we've barely even begun our adventure. But I know this, and I think you do too. If we're going to succeed, we need Jesus and we need each other. This could be the most important work that we do in our lives. We're going to take this church that has been around for 150 years, blessing the city and its members, and bring it back to the point where it can bless us and our descendants for another 150 years. That's our goal. That's what I believe the Lord wants from us, and it will begin with the practice of simple things, of being kind, of being receptive. You know, sometimes over my ministry, I've assigned myself homework in my sermon. I think it's a little presumptuous to assign it to everybody, but I've invited others in the congregation to share the assignment. So my assignment to myself this week is to figure out in a situation, maybe in several situations, how to bring Christ-like kindness when I'm tempted to let my tongue lead me into sin. So perhaps this week, as we embark upon our adventure together, you'll take this on as your homework too. Amen.